This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, we continue to go through the book of Ephesians, and we're looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. If you'd like to turn there in your Bible, Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. Thank you for being with us on the program. I appreciate you going with us each week through the book of Ephesians, and I hope that these studies are beneficial and helpful to you. We've been looking at the Christian's walk in chapters 1 through 3, the Christian's wealth in Christ, and Ephesians chapter 4 through 6, the Christian's walk in Christ. We've already looked at the walk of unity in verses 1 through 16. Now we want to look at walking in newness of life, walk in the new life in Christ. When we are baptized into Christ and then raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 4 through 6, we have an opportunity to live each day a new life. That old man of sin is behind us. And so that's what we want to talk about this morning on the program in Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. Paul is going to write about the Christian's walk in newness. When we're baptized into Christ, we are a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And as I mentioned in Romans 6 and verse 4, we must be raised to walk in newness of life after our baptism. The Christian is to put away the old man of sin, the old way of sinful living, prior to his conversion or her conversion, and not return to it. And that's what Paul is reminding these Christians. When they were baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 18 and 19, they left, if they were Jews, they left that Old Testament Judaism. If they were Greeks, they left that pagan religion of Diana, or whatever was going on in their life religiously. They left that behind and they became a simple New Testament Christian. And we encourage you to do that today, friends. If I can help you to obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, please contact us so that we can do that. And you'll be a new creature in Christ. It'd be a great thing. And he is to be, or she is to be, renewed each day with our mind. When our mind follows the New Testament scriptures, we are renewed each day and we put on the new man of holy living in Christ. So, this morning, I want us to consider the Christian's walk in newness. And Paul is even going to list specific attitudes and actions that must be put off or put on in this new walk in Christ. We'll look at that in verses 25 through 32. Let's read the text together and then learn for our admonition this morning the walk in newness of life. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles also walk in the vanity of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling gave themselves up to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away, as concerning your former manner of life, the old man that waxes corrupt after the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, that after God hath been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have whereof to give to him that has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. So walking in newness of life. Verse 24, put on the new man. So let's see how that takes place in the life of a Christian. First of all, Paul talks in chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, about the old Gentile way of life that these people would have been in Acts 18 and 19 prior to their conversion. Some of the members of the church at Ephesus were Gentiles, and they needed to be reminded not to return to their old manner of life. Paul begins this section with the word therefore in verse 17, which connects what follows with his previous teaching on unity in verses 1 through 16, because the Ephesians need to walk worthily and walk in unity. Verses 1 through 16, therefore, they must no longer walk as the Gentiles. That's not going to bring about truth and unity, walking in that old manner of life. They cannot walk worthily and walk in that old manner of life. They cannot walk in unity and still live in that old life of sin. So there's the connection there. And Paul wants any of the Christians to put off and put away that old life. That means that a Christian, a person can be baptized into Christ, and they can repent of their sins and be baptized into Christ and start living right, but an old habit or an attitude or thought can come back. And that has to constantly be put away. That's why in chapter 4 and verse 22, he says, put away as concerning your former manner of life. That's something that they still need to do after they become a Christian and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Daily, each day, our mind needs to be renewed to the thinking of walking as a Christian, not walking in our old life of sin. And so it's a regular process. It's not a one-time situation where a person is baptized into Christ and everything that was completely a part of the old life never comes back again. It can come back. And Paul says that we must put that off. He'll do the same thing in the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 that we won't take time to look at this morning, but the same type of theme is there. And so, they must no longer walk as the Gentiles. Peter will even make this point in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. So put it all away. This truth, Paul wanted to testify in the Lord, meaning that he would affirm the truth of this matter by the inspiration from the Lord. He got his message from Jesus Christ. It was an inspired message from Jesus Christ. And so it's not his own personal opinion. He's testifying in the Lord of these things. Now, Paul is going to describe the previous life of sin that these Ephesians were in, particularly the Gentiles. He calls it the vanity of their mind. Number two, he talks about darkening or darkened in their understanding. Number three, alienated from the life of God. Number four, ignorance. Number 5, hardened in their heart. Number 6, past feeling. Number 7, lasciviousness. And number 8, and uncleanness with greediness. This is a very dark and sinful place to be in. And the world portrays it as fun and having a good time and living it up and doing what you want, but it's actually a very dark place. And I want to make the point this morning in this section of Ephesians 4 that when a person is in the world today, they're going to have these same characteristics. It's not that they can't come to the truth. They don't want to come to the truth. It's not that they can't become a Christian and turn around. They can't be converted. They can't change their life. It's they don't want to. Excuse me. And particularly, I want you to notice in verse 18, the hardening of their heart. Okay? They've made a decision that they don't want to come to God. Now, we'll make a point in just a minute about those in Ephesus who did, the power of the gospel. We'll make a point on that in just a minute. But there are many in the world, and the same is true today. They have these same characteristics, and they don't want to change. Friends, don't be like that. You can be someone who allows the power of the gospel to change you. But there's so many in the world that don't want that. And if you go back down through that list, you'll notice some very bad characteristics. The vanity of their mind. Their thinking is empty. It's no good. Darkened in their understanding. Their thinking leads them to a dark place of sin and trouble and problems and anxiety and emotional turmoil and physical problems. It's a dark place. Number 3, they're alienated from the life of God by their own choosing. If they would come to God, they would have a better life. But they don't want that. And so they're reaping the consequences of their sin. And we see that today in many different aspects. When people do not want God in their life, atheist, secularist, people who say no to God, no to prayer, no to the Bible, no to church, they're living in a bad place. Their marriage is messed up. Their own personal lives are messed up. They take their own lives. They hurt others. They hurt themselves. They're in all kinds of problems. And it's by their own choosing. They're staying away from God and they're reaping the consequences of it. Paul goes on to talk about ignorance. They don't want to know the truth, the ignorance that is in them. They could learn, they could change, they could become knowledgeable, but they don't want that. They're hardened in their heart. Their past feeling, this is an interesting word that is used. The Gentile world hardened their heart against God's truth, just like some of the Jews of that day did, and like many people today. And they became so hardened and blinded by their ignorance that they were past feeling. The word is literally ceased to care. It's a word that means to cease to feel pain. Callous or past feeling. One version says having lost all sensitivity. That's a bad place to be in. Because you do things to yourself and others and you don't even care anymore. All the way from harming to murder and everything in between. They've just gotten to the point where they don't care anymore. They're callous. They cease to care. And a person can get so far away that they remain that way. And there are many people like that today. Paul adds in, as if that's not bad enough, lasciviousness and uncleanness with greediness. Lasciviousness is a word that means license. You don't want to be constrained by God's law. So you want to have permission to engage in all kinds of sensual acts, along with uncleanness and greediness. And so this is a very dark place to be in. But the positive thing about it is, there were those who came out of that. The power of the gospel, Romans 1:16, God's power to save. It was preached in Ephesus. Jews and Gentiles heard that message, and it was a very powerful message. And people made the choice to come out of this life of darkness into the light of truth. And we would encourage you to do that today. That's how the church at Ephesus got started. And then Paul says in verse 20 and following, he's going to talk about this walk of the new man. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus. And so Paul came and preached the truth of Jesus, and they heard that. They learned that. They were taught that. And they made the decision to obey it. Paul presents a contrast in verse 20 between those who obeyed and those in town who did not. The Ephesian Christians that make up the church had at one time walked in that sinful walk of the Gentile world. But when Paul preached in Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19, they learned the truth from Jesus and were converted to him. And so you can be like that, I can be like that. We don't have to be stuck in that dark, sinful world of humanity around us that cares nothing about Jesus and truth and good. And so in verse 22, Paul says that you put away as concerning your former manner of life the old man that waxes or grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit. So they need to be careful that they don't go back to that old life. They must now put away the old man that grows corrupt after the lusts of deceit and be renewed in the spirit of their mind. Paul's going to say something similar in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how we change to get better every day. It's our thinking and our mind that we change. It's not some miraculous force that is put on us from the outside. It's inside of us as our thinking, our attitude, the spirit of our mind, our attitude conforms to the truth that we're hearing, verse 21, and we make those necessary changes. The old sinful life is the corrupt life that Paul is talking about here. They must now change their thinking and their mindset to serve Christ, not the old way of life, because the devil wants to get you back into the world from which you came from. If you obey the gospel and obey the truth and start living that Christian life, the devil wants you to come back to the world. Don't let him do that. Put that life away. These Christians that Paul is writing to must put on the new man and live the righteous, holy, and truthful life of a Christian. It's not enough to put off something. We have to replace it with what is right. And so we have put away in verse 22, and we have put on in verse 24. So get rid of that worldly life, but you have to replace it. Otherwise, there will be a void in your life, and that a vacuum, a void, that will come back. So you have to replace it with good things. And so this new Christian life is what is to be in its place. And it was created by God, Paul says, that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. So that's what is replaced and let God create us, make us a new creature each and every day as we move away from that old life, the desires, the lusts, the attitudes, and be a new person in righteousness and holiness of truth. Again, notice the truth. On either side of the statement, the spirit of your mind is the word truth. The truth is contained on the pages of the New Testament gospel, and that is what turns our life around and keeps it going in the right direction. Now, let's look at verses 25 through 32. Paul is going to mention several specific attitudes and actions that these Ephesian Christians need to put off and put on as they have this walk that is in Christ. And so let's look at some of those things. They are to put off some things or put them away, and they're also to put on some things. So let's see what that is. First of all, Paul says, wherefore, putting away falsehood, knowing that you're to put this old man away, wherefore, I want to draw a conclusion, Paul says, I want to list some things. Putting away falsehood. The first thing that Paul mentions is putting off or putting away falsehood. One version just says lying. We're going to be honest. We're not going to be deceitful. We're not going to try to fool and fake people. We're just going to speak the truth, each one with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay? Just speak the truth. Now, it could be the truth of God's word, but it can also be just truthful things throughout the day, things that are true, even if they're not in the Bible. Speak true things, accurate things, and put away. And lying is so prevalent today everywhere. Then he says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. This is a little confusing to some, maybe, because they're thinking, well, I thought the Bible was against anger, and it is. Anger and wrath that come from outbursts of a violent temper, this is condemned in Scripture. That's one of the words that's used in the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. But the anger and wrath that is righteous indignation against sin is not condemned. Jesus, for example, in Matthew 3 and verse 5, looked around on the crowd with anger. It was a righteous indignation towards sin. So be angry and sin not is the idea of having anger, a righteous indignation toward sin and that which is wrong, and not allow that anger to get out of control and lead to a sinful life. So we can have righteous indignation toward sin. Then he says, neither give place to the devil. Giving place, giving an opportunity, opening up our lives like Judas did. One gives place to the devil when, like Judas, allows the devil an opportunity to take up residence in his heart and influence him. We read about that in John 13, verse 2 and verse 27. The one version reads, do not give the devil a foothold. We know that from a military term, that you don't want the enemy to get in and get a foothold in a particular area. It would be hard to rout them out of that. And so, don't let them get in. We're told to resist the devil, James chapter 4 and verse 7. So you decide. Sometimes people say, well, you know, the devil made me do it. He doesn't force us to do anything. We let him in, we let him influence us, and then we do what he wants us to do. But it's our choice to let him in or not. And Paul says, give no place, give no opportunity to the devil. Then Paul brings up the matter of stealing. Don't steal, but rather labor. This is very important. We need to work hard. We don't need to engage in stealing. There's been a lot of news stories over the past few weeks and months with these riots that are going on in various cities and people. You'll see the news stories where they're breaking the glass windows on the front of stores and tearing down doors and going in and just wholesale stealing clothes and other things. It's terrible. And people do that all the time. And they're using these riots and things like that as an excuse to simply steal. But Paul says, rather let him labor, working with his hands. That's how we get the things that we have in our life, working hard. And not only for ourselves, that he may have whereof to give to him that has need, we can also share and help with others. It's a little discouraging in our country and even around the world where government will often support laziness. I'm not talking about honest individuals who truly cannot physically get out and work. I'm talking about people who are just lazy. And we even have government programs and things like that set up that basically just fosters laziness. And not only that, but when people have a lot of free time on their hands and they're sitting around being lazy, they're not filling their mind and body and daytime with hard work, then they go out and get into all kinds of trouble. And government programs and government agencies and money that is set up just simply to foster and encourage this laziness mentality is hurting us, and we would do well to stop it. Save all of that for those who are truly incapable of working, not those who just simply don't want to work and have learned how to scam the system. And all of that is on the backs of the honest, hardworking taxpayer, and it's not fair to them as well. And then Paul mentions a number of things to put away with regard to our speech. We need to speak only what is good and edifying, and put away things that are unwholesome and corrupt speech. And so the tongue is considered. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He has feelings. And we grieve him when we don't follow his word. We need to put away bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing. Put these things away. So in contrast to the old walk of sin that's to be put off, we need to be speaking truth, working, edifying speech, kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. So it's putting off those things that are bad, putting on those things that are righteous and holiness of truth. Paul will close this section of the epistle with the supreme example of forgiveness, and that is God, who was willing to forgive all mankind of their sins through Jesus Christ on the cross. What a great example. Well, friends, do you need to come out of that old life of sin? Let me encourage you to do that. Leave that behind. Be baptized into Christ, obey the truth, and put that old life behind. Don't be like the rest of the world that just wants to live in that dark place. It is a very dark place. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program. We're glad that you've been with us, and we hope that you will have a good day.